Today I want to talk about fuel for your passion. Fuel for your passion. I looked at the story here of Nehemiah because I said, no way. That they're dealing with all this, and the priests have walked away from the ministry. They got all this chaos going, and then you got these enemies that are trying to keep them from doing what God called them to do. And God wants to know that we are too. We have a great adversity, great challenges in our life to fulfill his purpose. Amen? And sometimes we got to learn how to fuel our passion. See, when we can't fuel our passion, we can't go very far. Come on, don't try not putting gas in your car and see how far you get. You might get a little ways. You might get around the corner. But if you don't keep putting gas in your car, you're not going to get very far. And our passion is the same way. See, compassion is different from compassion. See, we want everybody to be compassionate in their heart because we want everybody to love on people. But passion is a drive that we have. It is knowing the calling that we have. It's knowing what God has put in our lives to give to others and to live out for our lives so that we can be a blessing to other people. See, it's a big difference. See, some people want passion. Oh, excuse me. I can't even do it loud there. Hey, they want passion. But the reality is God wants compassion. He wants the best of your heart. He wants the best of who you are. And when we have the compassion, then the passion has to come naturally. But we got to fuel it, amen? That's why the scripture says, without a vision, the people what? Perish. So we got to fuel it. We got to know, what am I doing here? So that we're not living like the world is, doing dead works. Just because you saved don't mean you're doing good works. You might just be a part of the chairs. We don't know. But because we are saved, that means we have a calling on our lives. Come on, Paul says, do not neglect the calling, the gift of God that's on your life that was given to you probably way long before you got here. See, it's important for us to know that we have a calling and know that the perspective of what God wants to do through our life, that's what fuels our passion. See, the passion is given through the Holy Spirit. When somebody's singing a song, when somebody's preaching a sermon, when somebody's saying a prayer, we can feel your passion. We can feel it. We can feel the Holy Spirit come upon you, even if you don't. We do. Sometimes we get goosebumps and everything else. Amen? It's because it's what God does. It's with his part in our life that fuels our passion to do what he's called us to do. Amen? Come on, Nehemiah and them could have gave up. They could have gave in because they had this threat. They said, you're not going to build this wall. We're going to kill you first. But they didn't give up. They stayed the course. They stayed on task. And they made sure they built the wall. And they knew they had an adversary to stop them. And there's some things in our lives that God's saying, go forward. Do this. And then we look around. We got all these enemies. Well, I got too many bills. My family whacked. Come on, my job is whack. Come on, my relationship is whack. And we dealing with all these things, but yet I still got a calling. We can't pick and choose our calling. God called us. We did not call him. Amen? Neither one of y'all called him. He called you. And then it's time for us to answer. Amen? Come on, the longer we are in a place of authority or leadership in our lives, the more we become aware of what really fuels passion over the long haul. Because the challenge is not that spark. All of y'all can have a spark. Lifted up a chair. Come on, swept a prop, spread something. But what happened the next week? And the week after that? It's easy to get a spark. That's why God said, don't choose novice to be leadership. Because it's easy to get a what? A spark. I mean, we go for a little while on a little bit we got because we have what? A passion for it. I like my name being called. I like being up here with all the people who serve. I like doing all that. It's just a spark. See, what it is the test over the long haul. How do we respond over the long haul? The test of time. You heard me say it many times before. How do we deal with the test of time when things are always not going well? Always not good. Or you're frustrated about this. Do you still rise to the occasion? Do you still have the same vibe? Will you still have the same adrenaline you had to do God's work for your life? Amen? Come on, do we have it? Come on, the question that I've revisited again and again is how do you stay passionate over a long haul? How do you stay passionate over a long haul? With all the ups and downs, the ins and the outs. How do you keep your fire? How do you keep your mind stayed on Him so you can continue to keep having that peace? How do we do it? See, people go for a little while, then they fade out. They go for a minute, then they fade out. Come on, we got to have a consistency, and only God can give us the passion and the fuel for our passion for other people. Amen? Come on, how do you keep your passion strong without faking it? Oh, I'm here again. I'm here again. I'm doing it again. Come on, how do you stay strong and compassionate about doing ministry? Come on, fueling your passion, amen? Come on, let me tell you seven things here that never really last so we can stop doing it, amen? Come on, these are the substitutes we use, but they never really work. And I'm hearing, maybe it's because I still got jet lag in my ear. I don't know. But I can't hear y'all. I can't hear you. Seven things, passion substitutes that never really last. Well, these the flame in the past. Some things fuel passion in the short term, but they don't last. The first two on this list will give you legitimate passion in the short term, but they won't last. See, the other five are pale substitutes for the real thing. Come on, number one is first, just the word first. I'm going to explain to you why. First, especially when you're a young leader, doing something for the first time can generate passion, but it won't last. Just because we get it one time don't mean it's going to stay with us forever. Some things just ignite us or bring us into the fellowship of what God wants to do in our lives. It's the first. Come on, just like your first kiss. Y'all ain't never had none of that. No. And we got all these kids running around here. What are you talking about? It's like your first date. Amen. It's like your first encounter with the Lord.
Amen.
Got a little louder there. Got a little louder. Come on, we deal with first. Come on, the first time I went to amusement park. The first time I went to Pizza Hut. Come on, the first time I met somebody. And the first time I met this woman here. Come on, we was fueling. But how many of you know, just because you started on the first don't mean it's going to last. You got to put the work in. You got to do what you have to do to maintain what God has given you. Amen? Come on, so we got to be careful of the first. Because sometimes when we get involved with something right away and it seems exciting, oh, man, this is good, this is great. And then after a while, I got to work with him and her. But I don't know about that. Come on, it's the first. See, all of our firsts are exciting. The first time you wrote that $1,000 check made me sick to write it, but I wrote it. It was the first. Come on. See, your first team, your first successes, your first failures, your first learnings, your first accomplishments, all of these will give you a boost and a thrill every time. Come on, people graduating high school and they graduating college and they getting their master's degrees and their doctorate degrees. Come on, it was the first. And that fueled you for a little while. But the problem is the longer you stay, the fewer firsts there are. The longer you stay at anything you do and how you do it, the fewer firsts there are. Amen? Then what do you do? You've already done that. I've already prayed. I've already received the offering. I've already preached. I've already had my first encounter with the Holy Ghost. The first. But what do we do after that? Well, we need God more than ever to restore that fire in us. Amen? Come on, I'm just talking to us because I want to make sure we get this, that some the places we have in life that may not be where we want to be, but it's a long way where God has called you to be. Come on, we have to get a grip on that. Amen? Amen. All right, the second point, new things. So we got first things, and then we got what? All right, you're doing good. Every time you start something new, you get what? I guess two of y'all do. Two of y'all get excited. I don't know about you, but whenever we start something new or a new quest, I'm excited. Because guess what? I'm going somewhere I've never been before. I'm doing something I've never done before. So anytime we deal with new things, then there's a certain excitement. Why do you think people get excited on New Year's and start having resolutions of what they want to do and how they want to do it and the outlook for the year? By the end of this year, we're going to be out of debt. And got their fifth credit card down. Didn't work out. It was a new thing. We got to be careful of new things. Every time you start something new, you get a new passion for it. Come on, that's why some leaders love change. And some will fight for it. Let's change this up. Let's do this different. Let's do that different. Let's do this different. And sometimes they become a nuisance because they want to do everything different and we want everything to stay what? The same. I want this to change, but you want to do something different. And when you don't have a changeable spirit, then guess what that does to you? Pushes you away. But we always did it like this. Seven famous last words of a dying church. That's the way we always did it. Come on, that's why some leaders love change. They love the challenge of change. They love the challenge of, if I did it this way, can I do it this way? Do I have the ability to do it this way? Do I have the creativity to do it this way? Am I bonded in doing it this way? Can I stay committed to this change? Come on, that's why we have to be careful of new things. Because sometimes the first minute you get bored of it, or you get tired of it, or you get burnt of it, then you want to do what? Back off. I'm backing off. Why am I backing off? Because I don't have the passion anymore. I don't have the passion. Come on. Sometimes we change not because the organization needs change, but because they got bored. So if I ever change you in ministry, it's because I've seen you got bored. Because when you're excited about something, like a brand new baby bringing it home, it's like, what are we going to do next? And how are we going to get this? And can we get this? We do that all the time. We're in the store, and we see something for our grandson. What is this? And this, that. Because we're excited now. Because he is alive. And boy, is he alive. God, is he alive. Come on. And sometimes we need that in our lives. We need a new challenge. We need a new accomplishment. Maybe you've been doing something one way. Now let's try it another way. I know you're comfortable here, and I know you're comfortable that way, but try it a different way. And see how God can bless your life and change things for your life. Come on, that is the biggest culprit for us with new things. Come on, we got to challenge ourselves. I love change and think change is necessary. But starting new things because you're bored is not great leadership. It's not great leadership. We don't start new things just because we need a new thing. We start it because we want to what? Revive the passion. Well, get some people excited again. Well, I love this. And I love this. And not just because your kid's in it. I wish I felt better. I wanted to go on that one. All right, third. Too much caffeine. I don't know who I'm hitting here, but too much caffeine. Come on, sometimes we like that stimulus, that quickie. But we got to be careful. We cannot allow ourselves to be fixed on Mountain Dew and Red Bull and Monster drinks to get our gear up. Amen? If you got to do that to go teach Sunday school, then you ain't maybe not in the right position. Come on, a cup of coffee a day maybe. Maybe a cup of coffee a day. But not every other hour. Not every 2 hours. Not every 3 hours. Come on, caffeine is just as much addictive as nicotine. Once you get into your system, you want it more and more and more. Come on, if you haven't got much deeper down passion that you need a cheap substitute like caffeine, whether it's the Starbucks you like, Red Bull, I know I'm talking to some of y'all, or some Monster energy drinks running on caffeine will eventually land you more burnt and empty than you think. And I just bought one this morning, I can tell you. It ain't helped one bit. It didn't help one bit. He could have rolled me in here. Amen. Number 4, overscheduling. Come on, a lot of us are guilty of that. We overschedule. You're not Superman, and you're not Superwoman. Stop overscheduling. Come on, sometimes that overscheduling, we think busyness is the blessing. God will keep you busy enough, and he'll make you blessed enough. So that you'll pick and choose what gives you energy and that robs you of energy. Come on, that's what we got to know. What's the difference? Because some things add to you. Just like some of y'all are people. When you get here to church, woohoo, hey, we here. Woo, we here. And you get energy from being around all the other people. But some people are not energy people. They like me. They are phlegmatic and they're, what's the word I want to use? Introverts, and they want to withdraw, and they want to look around. I'm glad to be here, but I don't want to be here, really. And then what it is, you have a competition of what you're doing on your schedule. And some people need to be in church more often, because then it'll keep you more inspired. And some people need to be out on the field, because that keeps you more inspired. Come on, we got to find out where we fit in so we can get in and be effective in our calling. Amen? Amen? That's all Nehemiah took. Nehemiah only took people who was ready to build with him and fight with him. If you're not a builder and a fighter, this not your position. If you're a homemaker, go ahead and stay home. Come on. If you're a teacher or something, you should go ahead and stay in the synagogue. But if you are a fighter, come on, if you are a fighter and a worshiper of God, then I need you out here in the field, because we need you to help us build. Amen? Amen? Come on, know your spot. See, overscheduling, if you are excited about anything, big, no big challenge on the radar or temptation is to fill life up with too many things. And sometimes that's all it becomes, too many things. So you overlook, overwork, and overcommit, hoping to rebuke some energy or rekindle some energy and momentum. Amen. You're always trying to pump yourself up and get yourself going. Then maybe you shouldn't be doing this. If you got to keep doing it and pumping yourself up. Now, examine how we are. Come on, fifthly, hype. Hype. Yeah. I'm sorry if you're under over 50. Amen. Feeling a lack of passion deep down, you might try to convince yourself or hype yourself up. Because everyone else that's doing what you're doing, and be telling them all the time, this is the best thing ever. If you ever miss church and you on my list to call, first thing I'm going to tell you is, that's the best sermon I ever preached that you missed today. It might not have been. But if I don't tell them it was, then they ain't missed nothing. They ain't missed nothing. I could have been here. I was here on tape. All right, Pastor. All right. Come on. It's the hype. Come on. It's like going to a game or going to an event. Sometimes it's all about the hype. We're going to hype this up. We're going to make it bigger than it ever was. And everybody's going to be excited about it. And then they get there saying, why we do this? Who's in charge of this? I mean, I hear all kind of stuff when we go on these things. Who's in charge of this? I want to know, because I ain't hyped up about this at all. And they feel what? They done wasted their time. That's why we got to do things in excellence. That's why we got to approach things with the right spirit, because when people come, they don't know who and what. They don't want to know what. Why you do this? Why'd you do this? Because it's not hyped up enough. Come on, six is time off. If you're not engaged and really passionate about what you do, think about your time off. You will sometimes just wander away, spending less time engaging in the ministry and what God has called you to, and then engaging in other things. Come on, fulfillment decoys, we call them. Come on, and instead of refueling you, they do what? They drain you. So we got to know, as we serve in the ministry, as we living for God, why is this draining me? Why is this not fulfilling? Come on, why do I feel like I'm going through the mundane and doing stuff step by step? Come on, it's because we don't have fuel for our passion, or we have not identified the passion for our lives. Amen? All right, seven, the lastly, finding a new side passion. Notice I ain't say side chick, side dude, but a side passion, something that God fuels you for to do. Because sometimes you might be doing one thing, and we need you to do one thing, but you can do something else. And if you get passionate about that, then guess what? You're ready to drop the baton on the other thing and move on to the next thing. Come on, that's how churches grow. That's how adrenaline is produced. It's because people don't stay where they are. They find a new side passion. Come on, and then eventually they walk into their calling. You out here on the streets, you're evangelizing. You done walked into your calling. Come on, sometimes when we get stuck where we are and complacent where we are, well, I just got to master this. I got to manage this. We never venture out to see what God has really called or ordained you for. Come on, a good fight is better than a bad stand. So side passion. If you're not passionate about the main thing, you'll find something else to be passionate for. And it's not always a godly thing. Sometimes we're passionate about cars or bowling or I ain't gonna hit everybody. Come on, or what you like to do. Maybe you like to go out dancing, or whatever you like to do. Come on, that's your side passion, but it's not a godly passion. Come on, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a hobby, because people need hobbies. But if you don't have passion in your main calling, your side thing will become the main thing. But what you doing? I'm playing over here. You playing what? We need you over here at the church. What you doing? I'm walking over here. Walk over here to church. We need you in the church. I sound like a broken record, because that's what it becomes most of the time, a broken record. Because people can't make people become passionate. It's birthed in you. You know, when it's birthed in you. We had to find ours, and Princess made it back. Her flight came in yesterday with us too. And we found out these kids have passion. They have passion. They may not be the best, or they may not be ready for dance your way off on TV, but they got passion. Amen. Come on, a lot of things a lot of others don't have. That's right. It's not until you encounter it and see it in their faces and see it in their eyes and see each one of them. I mean, we went in a room probably no bigger than this, maybe was bigger than this, and when these kids got excited or passionate about it, we were like, where are these kids? There's seven of them. And they blowing the roof off here. It's because they had a drive and they had a passion that drove them. And it wasn't even them performing. They was cheering for their people in their church. And they were excited. And all they told me is that when people got a passion, ain't nothing can stop them. When you have a drive to do it, nothing will stop you. So we got to be passionate about it and let God use us in our lives. See, all of it's sad because you're not really doing the thing God called you to do when you're not hooked to his passion, because you don't have the passion for it anymore. and the thing that you hope might be real or fuel for your passion, you aren't really doing it. The thing that motivates you the most, most times people aren't even doing it. They're not even doing it. They call this church. Or we dot in the church dot. This, I made church today. You, but what you do? So what does our passion fuel? I'm glad y'all asked. There's two things. There are two things that have fueled passion in my life again and again. Number one, it's a white hot mission. White hot. We got red hot. But when something is white hot, then it's really hot. And it's a white hot mission that is bigger than you. Come on, if you're doing something that's not bigger than you, it's not white hot. Might be a little warm, but it ain't white hot. Come on, if you're really serving a great cause for a great God, in my case, serving here in the church, that is the biggest or bigger than anything you could imagine. Coming back to it again and again will refuel you. At least it does for me. Amen. Well, secondly, the more I focus on the mission in front of us, the more passion it gets renewed. Amen. Well, not just the new souls and new people who come to Christ, but I'm talking about the mission that's before us. I'm talking about living long enough to say, you know what? We built that. We did that. And look at God. Well, sometimes we just got to say, God, you're before us. And as long as you're before us, who can be against us? And when we get that kind of white hot passion for the mission, well, nothing can stop us. Nothing can stop us. Because we're always doing what? Talking to people. I'm in the store talking to people. Well, I'm here doing something else, talking to people. Then the next thing you know, they sitting in the seats. And they sitting in the seats. But if we don't talk to anybody, then guess what? Ain't nobody going to sit next to you because they don't know about you. See, they know you by your passion. Come on, when men get together, what do they talk about? I'm saying I would let that question go out there. What do they talk about? No. And the men got real quiet in the church. I know ain't but a few of y'all, but what do y'all stand up? What do we talk about? Come on, Jerome, what do we talk about? You want to tell us? Come on, my dear. What do we talk about? Okay. Jessica. What do we talk about, John? Sometimes. See, we don't talk about the children and the kids. We talk about, most of the time, if we meet somebody new, we talk about what we do. We talk about what we do. Sports may be up there for some. Political stuff may be up there. But for most men, married, single, indifferent, they talk about what they do. Because when you get to a certain place in life, it's not what you've done, it's what you do. And if we don't have the passion or the fuel in our, to drive us, then we can't talk about what we do. But it's important, especially for every man, especially if you're over 50, the first thing you're going to talk about is what you do. And if you don't do nothing, the first thing you talk about, I'm retired. I'm retired. Now, we need to refire you up and get you back into the game. Amen? Come on, Nehemiah took these people because they had a mind to work. And they did not lose their passion. Even when adversity came against them, even when they had challenges in their life, they still did not lose their drive to do what God called them to do. And that's all we need. And God gives us the fuel for that passion to accomplish something bigger than ourselves. Come on, how many Big Macs we gonna get? How many new dresses the ladies gonna get? Come on, when we gonna redefine or reinvent ourselves? Come on, it's not just that we like change; it's because sometimes we gotta change because we get what? Bored. And sometimes we won't even confess it. I'm bored, Pastor. Okay, you bored? Let's change you. Let's get you into something else. If you bored, let's get you in. Because I'd rather have you working than sitting because you bored. Mm-hmm. Or dysfunctional because you bored. So sometimes it's not a hard word or we fighting for our rights. It's just that we got to keep changing. And as we change, we evolve and we become and do the things God has called us to do. And then we'll understand it better by and by. We might not know all the big picture right now, but by and by we'll know the big picture. We say, God, you did all that for this, and you turned me here for that, and you did this. You allowed them to let me go through that for this. And once we get that in our spirit, then guess what it does? It gives us a drive. That's why you call. Nehemiah was on fire. What? Nothing going to stop this brother. Nothing. And I don't believe there's nothing going to stop us when we have the right fire and the right drive. Amen?